And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Move the Sticks, presented by New Era. It's DJ Bucky, our good friend Rhett, today on the show. Rhett is sitting next to me. And, Bucky, we've got you for a few minutes, man. You're running all over town. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How you guys doing?
Man, the Path Trio is back. Feels good. Like, let's get rolling, right?
So good. Hey, Buck, first of all, we're going to get to everything we're going to talk about on the show today. We'll get a chance to talk about some of our reaction to what we've seen in the preseason. We're going to get to NFC East, AFC East. Me and Rhett will probably take care of that once we get to that point of the show.
Sounds good.
But, Buck, when you look at what you've seen, I got some names and some topics I want to rattle off here in a second, but I'll give you the floor. Just what stood out to you here in the second week of the preseason?
I think the thing that stands out to me, just the difference in the play of the rookie quarterbacks. Some guys look very, very comfortable in what they're doing. Other guys look like they may be overwhelmed. And I think the thing that stands out to me with Daniels in New York, I just feel like David Gettleman now goes back to his office, and I think he kind of feels good about the pick that he made, because Daniel Jones, for whatever we wanted to say about him leading up to the draft, on the field, the game seems like it's slow and easy for him. I'm not saying that he's ready to start and play, but of all the rookie quarterbacks, he just has a real good sense of timing, patience, and discipline to kind of lead the team, manage the game, and make the necessary throws. I think the Giants should be encouraged by what he's been able to display very, very early in the preseason.
I would agree. I thought actually one of the notes I wrote down when we get to the NFC East was Giants offense may be a little bit better than we thought coming in. Anyway, we'll get to that here in a second. But I would agree with you on Daniel Jones. I would agree with you. We saw some really good things from Kyler Murray in week one. You know, not as much in week two, which I guess is to be expected. But how about the guy flying under the radar here, Ryan Finley? He's been lighting it up for the Bengals here in the last 2 weeks, followed up a really solid week one performance with, I think, almost 200 yards passing. He was really efficient and completion percentage way up there in week two. I was really impressed.
He's been good. You know, the challenge is, and I'll get Buck's thoughts on this in a second, but when you're going twos against twos or threes against threes, I always try and, okay, this is a little different. It's not only vanilla defense, but you're vanilla talent at that point in time with what's out there on the field. But he's been very efficient. He's just taking what's there, and that you can go back and read the report on Ryan Finley. It reads like what we've seen from him. It's just smart, accurate, good decision maker.
Right.
It sounds, quite honestly, a lot like the guy that's ahead of him on the depth chart there in Cincinnati. Yeah. So, look, again, Buck, I'm always careful because we're going to do all these takeaways from the preseason, but I'm just telling you, man, I've seen it so many times. You just got to be careful what all you grab from this.
No, you do have to be careful, but another guy, and maybe there's something to be said for maybe experience, like playing a number of games in college, kind of helping you transition, because the other guy who's been really, really good, Jarrett Stidham in New England has been outstanding. When you watch him play, like, he has been, and he's been a better pro player than he was as a college player. And I know, look, the Patriots do a great job of coaching up quarterbacks and putting them in a situation to be successful, but when you watch him manage the game and operate the team, and they're kind of playing old school 21 personnel or whatever, Jarrett Stidham looks very comfortable in that system. And if he continues to do what he's been able to do, he could be the next one that they've been able to find. As Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo, someone who just fits what they want to do in that system, and then they teach them how to play winning football. He appears to have really taken hold of the messages that the Patriots coaches have been kind of dispensing.
And one thing you have with Stidham that you also have with Daniel Jones, as you go back through and look through your notes, as I just did on Stidham here, it's interesting to me, these guys, most players go from college where they're playing with elite players, great talent, and they have to make an adjustment in the NFL when the playing field's been leveled. Daniel Jones and Jarrett Stidham played behind two of the, let's be honest, not great offensive lines in college football against in conferences where you see elite defensive lines. So it's almost like in some ways they can take a little bit of a deep breath, Buck, as they're getting a chance to get in this environment. Daniel Jones hasn't had receivers that could separate on a consistent basis, hasn't had clean pockets. Jarrett Stidham ran for his life at Auburn behind that offensive line last year. So in some ways I think that makes this adjustment a little easier for these guys.
I think so, DJ, and I think that's something that we have to take into consideration when we do next year's class, to really look at what they play. And it's easy to say, oh, Daniel Jones didn't play with great players or whatever. And sometimes you kind of dismiss that comment. But I do believe there's something to be said for that, because we are seeing when he has a level playing field, when you put some talent around him, a solid offensive line, maybe some decent pass catchers, like, oh, man, this guy's game goes up a notch. And so imagine if they had A-level players on the perimeter. Imagine if the Giants still had Odell Beckham Jr., what Daniel Jones could look like. So now that we're seeing him, and we've talked about how you develop young quarterbacks, that first year you let them play, the second year you go get the pieces that you see that they need. I think with Daniel Jones, it'll be important to get him on the field and then see what they can do to augment the personnel around him so he can play at his best.
You know what? And wasn't this what we expected from Stidham kind of after the end of the 2017 season, the impressive bowl game performance?
Oh, we saw him.
And then
We saw him at the Elite 11. We left there. We talked about it here on the show, how much he stood out. He spun the ball better than anybody else down there.
So no secret that when given the tools, that this is what he's capable of. So, I mean, I think that's cool to see. And I'll just kind of wrap up the QB portion here by saying, if we're talking about our guy, Ryan Finley, who was our Path to the Draft recurring guest, I mean, we cannot forget to mention 2 years ago's recurring guest, Mason Rudolph, had himself a day.
All preseason.
Right? He started the game this last week in the preseason week two. That second drive he had, I think, he was 7 of 8. I think they had the ball for almost like 7 or 8 minutes and ended up with a touchdown. And that was an impressive first half performance for him.
Yeah, I want to add on to that in just a second. But I just went back and looked at my Finley notes, who we were talking about.
Yeah.
These are my notes. Accurate anticipation, toughness, skinny frame, golf light.
Golf light. I was going to say that because that's Zach Taylor is putting him in a spot.
Yeah, it's kind of what he looks like. And getting to play in that same offense, you're seeing what he can do there. Buck, when you look at Mason Rudolph, do you think – I mean, look, again, what you read into the preseason is what you read in the preseason. But is there a comfort factor there if you're the Steelers, knowing that whenever Ben decides to ride off into the sunset, you think that this could be the guy?
Well, I think they're probably comfortable with both guys, because even Josh Dobbs has had some
flashes. He's had some flashes for sure.
I think the big thing that the Steelers probably feel good about – their ability to put together an offense that allows their quarterbacks to play at a high level. And the fact that it doesn't matter who they lose at wide receiver, they can find and develop wide receivers. Man, James Washington looks terrific for them. He looks like he can
step up.
Another
good point.
And we're talking about Juju Smith-Schuster being the number one. You're now going to get James Washington, who can be the number two, and some of the other weapons they have. The Pittsburgh Steelers actually look like it may be a case of addition by subtraction as they go forward without Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell.
I want to get to some more of these preseason takeaways, and we can do that. I know Buck's short on time, so we'll get to the rest of those in a minute because I want to get Buck's take on this. Antonio Brown, the latest there, he's decided to come in, but yesterday we had a chance to see Mike Mayock, general manager of the Raiders, go on record. We all know Mike
well. Questions.
Yeah, that's the end of the story, no questions. Buck, I believe the phrase was, we've exhausted the avenues of relief.
All avenues of relief.
So that's been all exhausted. So anyways, my question, though, Buck, is on the team building front. As somebody who's been on the front office side as well as been inside the locker room, what does this mean for this team when you have some of these offseason pieces that have been brought in? On the draft side, we have one thing, high character, foundational players is the term that has been used there. And then free agency-wise, you kind of take some gambles. And you look at bringing in a wide receiver as talented as anybody in the NFL, but it only costs you in a 3 and a 5. There's a reason it only costs you in a 3 and a 5, because there wasn't any other market for him. But how does this play for you with what we know right now inside that locker room?
To me, it doesn't play well. It doesn't play well because it's a mismatch in philosophies, the guys that you're bringing in. You got these character guys that you're bringing in from college that want to be your foundational pieces, and you're sprinkling in, I don't want to call it bad apples, but you're sprinkling in these veterans with questionable character. And look, Vontaze Burfict hasn't been a problem. Richie Incognito has not been a problem. AB has been a problem because he's blowing off practices. He's not showing up. And look, we can talk about the helmet issue and all this other stuff, but at some point, you're expecting him to be a leader of the group, not of the team, but of a position group. And when you got the young guys that could be really impacted by his behavior, I just don't think it's a good look. But the Raiders are stuck with him based on the amount of money that is committed to him. I just don't like the look. I think it's probably driving Mayock crazy. And I'm really wondering what John Gruden thinks now that AB has kind of shown up and shown all the warts that led the Pittsburgh Steelers to trade him away.
In relatively short order, too. I mean, what, he's been a Raider for a couple months.
That guy had frostbite on his feet, and it's not even a talked-about story.
Right.
That's because it's that far down the list. with right. what they've yeah. been dealing with. So it's unique. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. The one word that I think I'm the only person that's said this because it probably didn't stand out to many folks. But Buck, in Mayock's comments, he said, I'm excited not about where this team is headed, which to me would signify this year, this particular group. He said this franchise. And that franchise to me is a big picture. Where do we want to get to in our long-range plans? And whatever happens this year happens this year. I just don't get the sense that Antonio Brown's in the long-term plans of this organization.
No, I don't think he's in the long-term plans. I think it is a quick fix. I think they're trying to juice up their offense because they had Derek Carr and they want to see everything. But I can only see this marriage being maybe a two-year deal at max. They want to get those younger players into roles where they can kind of carry the team. But we know Mike wants to build it the right way. And yeah. the way that AB is acting, it's certainly not the way, Rick.
Right, but they also want to go into Las Vegas riding some momentum here.
Here's the thing. You want to do two things, right? Yeah. You want to put trophies in the trophy case, yeah. and you want to put butts in the seats.
Yeah.
I don't think Antonio Brown's going to help them put any trophies in their trophy case.
But
he might put a couple butts in the seats.
If he shows up, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's...
You know, that whole thing's bizarre.
Hey, Buck, I know you got to run, man. Thanks for giving us some time. We'll get back on schedule here with our next episode, man. Travel safe.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye. There you go, Bucky Brooks. Rhett, as we go through some of these other takeaways.
Yeah, I got a couple.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll start with that Cardinals game, and not necessarily about Kyler Murray, because I think we kind of expected there to be some highs and lows, especially in preseason as it gets started. But I was not encouraged from what I saw, one, from that offensive line.
Not good.
And, which in turn means I'm not encouraged from what I expect David Johnson to be this year. I mean, he sat up in the booth with Kurt Warner and I on inside training camp and said he wants to get back to 2,000 yards this year. Not rushing. 1,000 rushing, 1,000 pass receiving. That's going to be tough to do with that group up there because that didn't look good.
Here's the thing, though. This offense is a space offense. And when right. we get to the regular season, space and speed, that's how they're going to go. Spread you out. It's going to be 10 personnel, one back, four wide receivers, and it's going to be going at a breakneck pace. They've been playing a bunch with a tight end. They've been huddling up, so they're not
using vanilla.
Doing what they're going to do. And the other thing is, to me, I think you look at basically we can call it what it is. It's a college offense making its way into the NFL and going with that formula. If you look at an article that just came out talking about Clemson, the run that they've been on without a drafted offensive lineman over the last handful of years.
That's right.
So. Offensive line in these types of spread attacks has not been as important at the college level because, again, the ball's out quick. You're getting your ball to your playmakers. You're spreading the field. You're making a defense show their hand because you got to cover. Yeah. So now, still, hash marks are different. The size and speed's different. He's going to, because I think they have good receivers, I don't think, you know, I like Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald at this point in his career. In my opinion, they're going to see nothing but press man coverage. And yeah. their people are just going to go. They're going to go after him. And,
well, and look who's in the division.
That's the other thing. And here's my bigger takeaway on the Cardinals. Yeah. Everybody talking about Kyler Murray. What's this offense going to look like? They're not running in their stuff for one. To me, I am scared to death of this Cardinals defense. Yeah. And the other side of that is you practice against this air raid offense. You don't see traditional power offense. And you look inside that division. Seattle's a bully. The Rams are a bully. And Kyle Shanahan's known for having one of the best run schemes in football. Every team you talk to around the league studying Kyle Shanahan's run game.
Right.
And now you don't see much of that during practice. And by the way, your best corner suspended to start the year. Your second best corner's hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not good. They're going to be terrible on defense. And I think there's going to be some exciting moments offensively. I'm not basing this off of what I've seen in the preseason. I'm basing this off the personnel in the division.
Yeah.
If this team wins more than five games, I'll be shocked.
Silver lining. We'll get to see a lot of Byron Murphy first six games.
I do like Byron Murphy.
Right?
Yeah. We'll see what they do with these with these young receivers as well, Keyshawn Johnson. But I can't buy that team in that division at this time. I just can't do it.
Yeah. Let's see. So that was one of my bigger takeaways.
How about Derwin James? We got to get
That's
there.
A shame.
It's brutal. You know, I hate to see it. First of all, as a player, I think he's the best safety in the NFL right now. There's nobody that can do all the different things he can do. He's a special, special player. Take that aside of it. Doing the games for this team and traveling with this team, they're going to miss his energy and leadership even more than they're going to miss him as a player. He's Gus Bradley will tell you, one of the best young leaders he's ever been around. He's special in that regard. Now, the hope that you have if you're a Chargers fan or you work with the Chargers is that this defensive front, Rhett, I put it up against anybody right now with Bosa and Ingram, though known quantities, both healthy.
Yes.
Justin Jones in year two has been awesome. Defensive tackle was played with Bradley Chubb at NC State. Slim down. He looks explosive. Jerry Tillery in his first action the other day, you could see some of his quickness. He's fully healthy off that shoulder. You just go back and watch Stanford when he was healthy last year to see what he's capable of. Then you've got Chinna Nwosu, who can really rush off the edge. Isaac Rochelle can get you 7 or 8 sacks and kind of rotate through. They have so much talent and depth. And then even the linebacker position where they
healthy
were
healthy Perryman.
Perryman's, I'm anxious to see how much he's going to play, though. I mean, he's healthy. He's a really good player. But Thomas Davis being there, who's had a great camp. Drew Tranquil from Notre Dame's had an awesome camp. Kaiser White can really run. He's back healthy. He can go. They'll get Jatavis Brown back healthy. Those guys can all run. So front seven-wise, I think they're going to be able to try and help out that back end of this defense with all they're going to be able to do. And then when you look at the schedule, I mean, look, the Colts and the Texans, these are good, really good football teams. But when you're a Charger fan, you look at that schedule, where's Kansas City? Week 11, I believe, is the first time they meet. So at that point in time, you're hoping Melvin Gordon's been back for a good while. Hopefully Russell Okung's been back for a good while. And we'll see what happens with this Derwin James injury. Maybe he'll be back by then.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you start adding them all together, and it's like, oh, man, that's right. Still no Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen's dealing with
but Keenan Allen's going to be fine for week one. I still think we'll see what happens. I think there's a good chance Melvin Gordon's there for week
one. Here's the thing I'll say about Derwin James with the injury he has with the
fitness. Yeah, tell me. Now, for those again, you have a background in this.
I actually had that same injury. I had a fifth metatarsal stress fracture. Okay.
It's called a Jones fracture then?
It's only a Jones fracture when you fully break it.
Okay.
Okay. So it was just a stress fracture at the moment, but it was back kind of where your fifth metatarsal begins on your foot, and more midfoot. And so I tried to rest it for like 6 weeks and did all this little therapy, this ultrasound stuff that kind of helps inspire some calcification of the bone and all that. And rested it for 6 weeks, came back and broke it fully 2 weeks into the football season.
Wow.
So
how long was recovery then after fully breaking it?
I came back and played 7 weeks later.
Oh, wow.
7 weeks later with a surgery, but put the screw in.
Yeah.
I wasn't, you know.
How did it feel?
Well, it felt a little weird, but, it was better than nothing.
Yeah.
And so I was probably 80% in six, seven weeks. So look, my point is, it's better to get the surgery now.
Yeah. Which we haven't heard yet if he's done that or not.
Okay.
I don't know if he has. I hadn't seen
it. Right. I think they were still talking about that as a possibility this week. So I that made me a little more encouraged. Like, all right, let's get it done now. Let's make sure it doesn't happen. And get set back even further.
This is a team I believe went 7-2 without Joey Bosa last year. So they got to find a way to get that done. Now, the bigger concern when you look at the offensive side of the ball is Okung. Got to get him back. Hopefully, that was a scary situation. I don't know how long that's going to be, but there's a drop off there at that position. So that's on Phillip Rivers trying to cover up as you get some young guys growing and trying to develop. Any other plot lines from the preseason you want to hit?
You know, I think, the Patriots rookies have been really impressive. I feel like Damian Harris Chase Winovich were really good in week two. I thought that. And then we talked about Stidham. So.
Yeah, the all effort.
Jacoby Myers. I mean.
Yeah, he's been really good as well. Smokes. NC State showing out here. Just Bradbury.
Drafted.
Bradbury would stop sweating so much. It'd be a clean sweep.
Right, right.
For this draft class.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to these divisions here. NFC and AFC East. We'll go team by team. Just maybe a storyline we're looking for, and then what team we think will win the division. Let's start with the Dallas Cowboys here. What do you think is the big storyline?
Well, the defending champs in the division, right? The big
people
story.
Forget that.
Yeah, and the big storyline are the guys who aren't there. I mean, Zeke is one, but go ahead and look on the defensive side of the ball right now as we sit, and maybe they're not worried about it. But Tank Lawrence is still on PUP. Byron Jones is still on PUP. So is Crawford. So you got three studs up there that are still out right now. And then you're talking about back injuries for Zach Martin. Tyron Smith has been acting up again too. You know, gosh, that's a lot to kind of deal with all at once. And look, I think if Zeke is there, and I think if the primary components are fully healthy, then they are odds on favorites to repeat in the division. But without him, I don't know what to think, even though Tony Pollard has been impressive.
Yeah, he's done a nice job. I still think, though, when you look at the workload or lack of workload he had there at Memphis, teaming up with Darrell Henderson, I just can't see them trying to load him up. Even if Zeke is not there for the start of the season, they're going to have to divvy those carries up.
He's Alfred
not
built, Morris,
yeah,
Mike Weber.
He's
yeah.
not built to carry all that. So while he could be a very nice component to this offense, I don't think you want him to be the driving force. I think you want to sprinkle him in. I don't think you want to give him a shower here to start things off. When I look at this team, to me, if this offensive line can stay healthy is where I start. Because that's how, again, I look at what's your formula. We talk about it all the time. What is your formula to win games? They have a very known formula.
Yeah, it's clear.
It's going to be power football. Everything goes off of that. And to me, keeping Travis Frederick hopefully healthy for a full season is big. And Tyron Smith, those would be the two. And you look at also Zach Martin.
Zach Martin's been dealing with a disc injury.
So those three guys, if you get those three guys for 16 games as a playoff team, if not, it drastically changes.
No question. So and look, I think you could kind of, as you get down to the Eagles, who I would say is, you know, a healthy Carson Wentz right now at this point with where all these teams stand, make them the clear-cut favorite in the division just based on where the Cowboys are.
Right? 100%. And to me, I just I talk to people around the league and you're looking at their rosters and we're having these conversations and it's okay, we're trying to find this guy or that guy who's going to win our starting right tackle job, who's going to emerge as our third down back. And you go visit the Eagles and you start having the roster questions and it's like, who's going to be our fifth receiver? You know, who's going to be our ninth lineman?
Yeah.
They have depth everywhere. One place they didn't feel great about it was quarterback and they went out and got Josh McCown. So
don't worry. Sudfeld's going to be back.
Right? Yeah, Sudfeld's coming back. So they'll carry three. I think they're going to have to try and sneak Thorson down. I don't see him making this football team.
Right.
But depth in the backfield, depth at receiver. I mean, there's just depth everywhere. And then when I look at the defensive line and I say, okay, let's look at this. You know, forget the starters where you've got the Brandon Grahams, the Fletcher Coxes and all those. I look at the second group and I see Vinnie Curry, who's played well in this league and is great fit in this scheme. I see Josh Sweat, who's got a ton of ability. Timmy Jernigan. They drafted Sharif Miller, who's got some speed off the edge. I mean, their second group plus of defensive linemen is very good. So I think this is a team with the most talent in the division. And if Carson Wentz can stay out there for 16 weeks, which has been a challenge, I think this team wins it.
And if we're questioning health on the Cowboys side of things, there's some good news for the Eagles. Ronald Darby is back practicing. And then on the other side, you got Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas battling.
Sidney Jones having a really good game.
Yeah, for the other corner. And so, I mean, depth on the D-line, depth in the defensive backfield, because they've had to play so much the last couple of the last year or so. That's an impressive team all around.
Yeah, they're in pretty good spot there, and they can absorb. You don't want to, but they can absorb an injury if they'd have to. All right, the Washington Redskins outside the quarterback position, which is obviously where a lot of eyes will point. Any other storylines you're keeping an eye on with this team?
Yeah, you know, the running back rotation I think will be interesting. You know, how much does Darius Geis, how much run does he give him if he's fully healthy here? And then Adrian Peterson, you know, is still there, right? Yeah. I mean, and then Chris Thompson, I think, you know, kind of flies under the radar a little bit too.
How about Trent Williams and that whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think they made a nice move, at least going to get Donald Penn in the interim. But man, that's their best player on offense.
Trent Williams, question. One of the best tackles in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a tough one to overcome there for sure.
I think it's going to be a really good.
What do they got a receiver?
There's nothing on this offense. Right? I mean, the running back position is interesting to me, and that gets me excited with the depth and talent they have there.
Dotson,
outside
Richardson,
of that, I mean, I go to the defense and say that's again, what's your formula?
Right,
you have to run the heck out of it and play great defense. And I think they do have a chance to be really good on the defensive side of the ball up front in this division. I mean, there is a lot of talent. And this team, you know, just go to the University of Alabama. That's where they do all their shopping.
That's right. no kidding. And, you know, the other thing I'll say is I think Ryan Kerrigan has gone under the radar as one of the better edge rushers
every year. Just throw up numbers.
Right. I haven't seen a ton of Montez Sweat. I haven't gone back and watched their games yet. So I'll be interested to see what he's able to give them. And yeah, defensively, they should be pretty solid. I mean, there's some continuity there.
I mean, but it feels like a 7-win team. You know, if you're going to put kind of a number, it's a 6 or 7-win team playing great defense.
Haskins, struggling. Week 1. I mean, do we just try to?
I've advocated for Haskins, and people are different on this. I think the kid's mentally tough. I think he's physically tough. The biggest knock on him is he hadn't played. So, to me, the answer to that is not having him not play.
He made some NFL throws.
He did. He made NFL. I talked about it before. Week 1, he made big time throws. So, sooner the better for me. I want to get him up to speed.
Well, so, if you want to talk about butts and seats, he'll do that.
No question.
A little bit more than Case Keenum might.
Yeah.
All due respect.
And I think when you've got a coaching staff that needs to win, if you're not going to win, the other thing you need to do is show progress with a young quarterback. So that helps that cause as well.
Yeah. And then obviously making our way down to the Giants here.
You're bullish on the Giants.
You are buying the Giants. Look, I think they had another nice showing in week two. The ones did for sure before we even get to Daniel Jones.
Yeah, Eli looked great.
He did. He did. And, you know, we didn't even see Saquon. So we've yet to see him really. So once you add that in, I mean, that's impressive. And I think the biggest thing is this offensive line is improved. They are much better than they were last year. So that just allows them to do so many different things.
For those that listen to this show, they know your background. Yeah. They know your history.
Fine.
They know your biases. Let me just tell you, I'm going to show you exactly why Rhett is so bullish on this football team.
And all right.
I thought of it when I was watching the game last week, and it finally came to me.
Cody Latimer, my man. Let's talk about Cody Latimer having himself a preseason.
I can't believe you didn't lead with Cody Latimer and what he did in the preseason.
Well, you know, like I already gave you one Hoosier homer, so I'm not done yet.
I mean, we talked about Derwin James. I thought you might try and transition and talk about Dan Feeney on the offensive side of the ball.
Don't worry, I'll get the Simi Cobbs down in New Orleans here in a little bit. Okay. Yeah.
I think those are all the players from Indiana in the NFL
right
now.
A few more.
By the way, I took a shot at you. I don't know if you ever saw it. You weren't even on the show I was on, and we were talking about
–
what was it? I remember taking a little shot.
Obviously, it wasn't a good one.
No, I was not memorable, apparently, but I did take a shot at you.
You did. I always appreciate it.
Rhett didn't know how to read. Is that what it was?
Man,
Mark?
That's a rough one. That's a rough one. My parents spent good money.
Oh, yeah. For that. Yeah, no, there's been plenty of shots taken,
okay.
I guess.
Yeah.
To narrow them all down. All right. What else we got?
So right now, you're going Eagles for the NFC East.
NFC East. Giants, real quick on my takeaway on them. Look, I've said it. Evan Engram, buy all the stock you can.
Yep.
I think he's going to have a huge year in this offense. I think that the offensive line is built to run the football. I think they're going to be able to move people, which obviously bodes well for Saquon. And pass protection, still, I don't feel great about the tackles. I know Nate Solder's hoping for a bounce-back year there. Mike Remmers. I just look at some of the edge rushers you're going to see inside that division.
Well, as long as Remmers isn't seeing Von Miller, we'll be okay.
Yeah, well, that did not end well.
Super Bowl 50 was not great.
So that, to me, would be my concern with this team. The other side of the ball... a lot of young players going to get a chance to play. I just try and identify who that pass rusher is going to be.
Yeah.
And the one guy when I was out there that kind of popped in practice, and I actually saw him make some plays there.
The X-Man?
Lorenzo Carter.
Lorenzo Carter.
Oh, Shane Zimenez has been nice too. I mean, he's a young guy. You're hoping to continue to grow. But that's the one. When you go out there and watch the position group go through drills and watch him in one-on-ones, Lorenzo Carter was the one that kind of jumped out to me. So he's got to emerge. They've got to have somebody emerge as an edge rusher here to complement what else they have.
Yeah, he had four sacks last year. So heading into year two, double that up. That'd be a nice...
Get you closer to 10. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. I still think... I think it'll be an inconsistent team.
I think it's
500, give or take.
Yep.
The way I see them. I think the third.
Wouldn't be surprised as nine wins. Wouldn't be surprised as seven wins, I guess.
But I still think there's a pretty clear order, and it all can change. But to me, it's
so you're still Eagles.
Eagles, Cowboys, Giants is what it feels like to me.
If Zeke comes back for week one,
I don't know that I would change that. Okay. But I do think that we will see both those teams in the postseason, however it ends.
Got it.
You want to flip over to the AFC?
Yeah. So who gets second place?
In the NFC?
In the AFC.
Oh, yeah. We just start there, right? In New England. All right, let's move on.
Sorry.
By the way,
what do you got?
Talking about New England and talking to some people around the league, the same name comes up. When you talk about the most valuable people in the New England Patriots dynasty.
Okay.
The pecking order, either it's 1A, 1B, right, with Brady and Belichick. Who's the next person that's mentioned, the most people you talk to around the league? What's the name that comes up more than any other with credit for this dynasty?
Dante Scarnecchia.
Correct. Someone's been doing their homework.
Bam.
Nicely done.
Love it.
No, he is so good as an offensive line coach.
That's why they had to bring him out of retirement to come back.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So to me, with him in place, it's going to be another really, really good group.
Isaiah Wynn had a couple of series.
I'm excited. I haven't got a chance to dig into that tape yet. I want to see it. But he was somebody we all loved coming out of college.
Seeing it live, I didn't notice him. So
that's a good thing.
Probably good.
Yeah. Right. That with long snappers and tackles. Yeah. Want to notice him when you see him live.
Unless we're talking about a run game. But I didn't notice him in pass protection.
I mean, they're going to be really good. And a collection of backs I love what they're doing there. And defensively, you know, somebody brought this up because I had tweeted out who I thought the top five defenses were going to be, you know, in the NFL, and I did not mention the Patriots. And I like the Patriots. I just don't love them. They don't stand out. It's a good group. Oh, somebody tweeted me, go like, when was the last time they didn't finish in the top five? And I'm like, oh, hold on, let me go check
scoring.
This out. And I'm scoring right? And right, so I'm going, yeah. Last year top five, year top five, top. Oh my gosh, these guys are in the top five every year.
Scoring defense, but yeah. They don't do it with flash.
No flash.
And
the names change.
Right.
They just play great red zone defense.
Would Trey Flowers have like 8 sacks as a career high? And he was their best, their best guy getting after the passer. I mean, I don't know who loves Chase Winovich more. Is it Casserly or Baldinger?
Are they both going all in?
Yes. I mean, I agree. I loved watching him. He's fun to watch.
I give Chase Winovich some love here. Yeah. You want to play where did I have him?
Yeah, let's do it.
Chase Winovich. Can we get a drum roll? We don't have a drum roll, do we, Hytham? That would be nice. This would be a fun game to play. Where do you end up having these guys? All right. He would be listed as an edge rusher for me. Chase Winovich was my...
He was drafted 77th overall in the third round.
And he was my 48th player.
Oh, yeah.
48. I'm plus 29 on the league.
No, you're bullish there.
I feel good.
Yeah, you should. Well,
why am I not doing these Chase Winovich breakdowns?
That's true.
We can use that as a drum roll. It's kind of a college football vibe to it.
And I think it all kind of ties in.
Yeah, we've got a college football episode coming up later in the week.
Bang, bang.
There
love it.
There you go. A little promo there. All right, so okay. Patriots, let's move on. Yeah. Dolphins?
Well, let's do it this way.
Oh, who you think's going
to
be second?
Let's do it this way. Who's the biggest challenger to the Patriots in this division?
Mike Robb said the Bills are going to win the division. He did.
Sorry, my head touches.
I think he doubled down on that as well. I'm going to go. Look, I've been been riding the Sam Darnold train for a long time.
Yes.
Not getting off anytime soon. I feel like it's getting a little crowded on here, though. It's making me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's filling up.
When you get in tight spaces.
Like I mean, I felt like I had my legs up on the seat across from me. Nah. I mean, it was like one of those 10 o'clock flights on Southwest to Phoenix, and it's just like you and four other people
on the
there.
Saturday of Super Bowl week, leaving the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
set.
I had a lot of space there.
Yeah,
just throwing me nuts
now it's
and
like the
drinks and anything.
Monday of Super Bowl week after the game.
I'm like a
trying
sardine.
To get out of there, right?
I can't even get through TSA to get on the plane on the Sam Darnold Express right now.
You need clear now.
I think.
And we haven't even seen Lev Bell yet.
Everything I've heard, he's done well. He's looked good in camp. So
right. So that's your thought there. I agree. I think the Jets are the clear number two here. I'm excited to see Gase and Darnold rev it up here for the regular season. I think it was a cool move that Joe Douglas pulled off, getting Khalil to come back out of retirement and come in and kind of shore up a position of, perceived weakness there at center. He's probably not done, right?
Trading for Alex Lewis, with pennies on the dollar there, who's somebody that can give him at least, if nothing else, a really valuable swing backup. So that's what Joe believes in. That's what he believes in.
What do they do at corner? We know they're pretty set at safety with Jamal Adams, and you get Marcus May back healthy. Corner wise, though, I mean, and then Avery Williamson goes down with the ACL.
They feel they hate to see that injury, but they actually feel pretty good about some of the young talent they have at the linebacker position that they're going to be okay there. Sure. And long term, be interesting to see because you pay that much money to CJ Mosley, and you're paying a lot of money to Avery Williamson. It'd be interesting long term. I don't think you want to have that much money tied up in the linebacker position.
Level.
So they needed some of these young guys to emerge. The cornerback position. Look, it's a lot of names not many folks are going to be familiar with, and that would be a market I believe you'll see them target once the cuts come as well.
And if there's any good news on that side of things, you're looking at the teams they play twice in the division. There's not a ton of marquee,
big time
receiver talent on the perimeter, so maybe it doesn't.
Really good at defensive tackle.
Yeah.
See if, I mean, they're loaded there, but we'll see. Edge rusher wise would be another question there is who's going to step up and be that guy.
All right, so to say that we're both in on the Jets at two does not mean we're writing off the Bills. I think this will be an improvement.
No, I love them defensively.
Yeah, I mean, Ed Oliver, what'd you see at your training camp stop? Anything there?
Well, they're parking him at the three technique, which I like.
Right.
That's where he should be.
So it'd be a disruptor.
And trying to move him all over the place, forget that. Just let him get comfortable in that spot, which I like. The safety duo there, I don't know that they get enough attention. One of the best in the league when you look at Poyer and Hyde and what they're able to do. Tre'Davious White is just
solid, day
steady.
Yep.
You know exactly what you're getting there. And for my money, Tremaine Edmonds, superstar. He's going to be a superstar player and really was last year. Didn't get mentioned with Van Der Esch when you stack the numbers up, not all that different, over 100 tackles. So I think defensively you're going to be outstanding. And then offensively, I know Josh Allen's looked really good in the preseason. That gives me some hope there, but I still, offensive line-wise, to me,
yeah, that's my
hang-up.
I'm with you on that, too. I was looking at that earlier. I mean, Deion Dawkins is your left tackle, right?
I'm okay with Deion Dawkins.
You're okay there. And then once you go down, it's
after that, I'm not feeling great.
Feliciano. Cody Ford.
He's going to be an adjustment period, but I think he's got a chance to be good.
And Mitch Morse is a good center, but I think he was banged up a little bit, right?
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, look, that'll be the challenge for this team. And I do, though, think of all the divisions, this one to me is a clear 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's a fun running back group there, too, by the way.
Oh, Devin Singletary is going to be
Gore,
fun to watch.
And Devin Singletary, for sure.
I want to see Devin Singletary get a little more run there. Just give him a little more pop.
Now, if you're the Dolphins, can you give me a good reason?
No. Why Josh Rosen shouldn't be starting? I have no reason. Other than I can say Ryan Fitzpatrick right now might be a little bit better for your opportunity to win a game early in this season. And that is not the reason to start him, in my opinion.
Otherwise, you're going to be in this situation again next year with an opportunity to draft a quarterback.
You have to evaluate Josh Rosen. You have to. Either he's good enough to be the guy or he's not. You cannot leave this season and not have the answer to that question. You can't.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that 1,000%. And I think we're kind of getting away from the, hey, Fitzpatrick is the clear-cut starter, as they said earlier.
But look, everybody wants to win, and maybe they shock the world and go to the playoffs. This is an evaluation year.
Yeah.
You need to know what you've got going forward. Trust me, as a Padre fan in baseball, this is my life, okay? I want to end the season and know I've got no worries at shortstop, no worries at third base, no worries at third base. We better go get a center fielder. Like, that's what the Dolphins have to use this year to be able to.
Suck.
Yeah, the Padres. Thank you.
I hate baseball. Padres suck.
Oh, gosh, that's so, that you can
use that
drop.
That thing just keeps coming back, right?
It's always in style. It never goes out. I think we recorded that 2 or 3 years ago. But that's what they have to do. Not being able to get a true evaluation of Josh Rosen because you're playing Ryan Fitzpatrick makes absolutely no sense to me.
Padres, 7 games under .500, 7.5 back of the wild card.
Not bad. Take that. Take that. Yeah, that's better. Actually sounded a little better than the last time I was checking in on it.
All right.
I punted on the season a few weeks back.
That's it. And then the Patriots, it'd be a shock still to me if they're not the AFC East champs.
Yeah.
That's the way we feel about it, right?
I'm with you.
Cool.
Fun episode, man.
Yeah, man. Rock and
roll. Great to have Buck on the phone. He'll be back and we'll be chatting with us here soon. I know we've got another episode coming up this week with the two of us, Rhett, where we're going to be previewing a little bit of this college football weekend as well as talking college quarterbacks. Guys, you got a chance to see at the the Manning Passing
Academy.
Take
it down to Thibodeau.
Down at Old Thibodeau. So we'll get your thoughts on that on the next episode. Remember, you can find all of our videos, nfl.com/mtsvideo. youtube.com/nflpodcast is where you find all of our podcast information on there. If you haven't checked out the prototype series, nfl.com/mtsprototype, you can check those out. And I do want to say thanks. There's been a bunch more reviews and ratings popping up on Apple Podcasts. So all the listeners out there that are helping us there, we do appreciate it. If you
thumbs
haven't done
you guys.
It, would really appreciate it. That's awesome. Tell a friend as well. A lot more stuff planned for this fall. We're pumped about, and Rhett's going to be a part of it as well. Anything you want to add before we get out of here?
No, I'm excited to bring the 100-degree heat back with me on our next episode.
Oh, there you go.
A little heat and humidity from
Little tease.
Indiana.
Little tease there. From the old
Fireball.
PBU. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for listening to Move the Sticks, presented by New Era. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to nfl.com/podcasts.